Okay, we're doing this. It's been 4 years since we've done this, I think. 4 years since we've done an open mic at Hemingway's. So, our first reader is Jonathan Solomon. Come on down.
Okay, can you hear me? If you want to. Oh, how's that? Is that better? All right. The name of this, it's very short. So the name of the poem is Watching the Turquoise Sea, South Beach, Miami. Incessantly under curling breakers thunder the shore, as if pouring libations for the dead. It's right in your face. The white beard foam breathes, gods of the first great day. We creatures of land, crouching the beach, are exiled live in our flesh, the blood yearning for home. We carry each inside our own original bit of the sea. After climate unease, in overheated Promethean fires, we are all beachfront property, reclining in the rising tide. You wait in vain to behold Christ tread the waves here, or see them divide for the Moses swarm. How about Einstein or Oppenheimer riding in on a surfboard with Wakefield acceleration off Ulysses' Happy Isles? In the new myths of quantum theory, a particle is also a wave and can at once be the same there as here. But where were we in plenitude of the Paleozoic age? Now it's let's go to London, see cats.
Thank you. Next up, we've got Margaret Casper Reed.
Hi, thank you. So this is called Wild Heart. And I'll try it on the phone, and I hope I can read it. I think I can. So the heart's a wildflower, a wind-up toy, backdoor rug mud-splattered, a solitary farmhouse, reflected light sizzling on new-fallen snow. The heart's a jumbotron flashing at the bottom of the ninth. She buzzes, drunk, Velcroed to the center of sunflowers. She's sassy, she talks back, overtalks, doesn't think things through. The heart's the woman in the moon, contra soprano, hissed upon, hushed up, hurrahed, a woman of war, goddess aged, rank entangled. The heart's high tides, floods, abandoning starfish to dank alleyways. The heart's a Mr. Softy truck, musicaling down Main Street. The heart's alone in the projection booth, splicing ancient reels together. The heart's acres of olives, the nets that capture them, and the bruised crush that comes later. The heart's bouquet is lavender mixed with junkyard stink. She's a screamer, that one, a screaming Mimi. And each time she clip-clop stomped on, her decibel levels womp over the legal limit for civilized society with a zing and a ping and a womp and a hammer, taking the heat and making it too. The heart's forged a golden shield, covered it with hieroglyphics. The heart never, ever leaves junior high school. Still sits in the third seat, watching dust particles fly up from the heater, waiting for notes, every piece of paper folded and unfolded, origami roots to ecstasy or despair. The heart's full of pink Play-Doh. The heart's a high jumper, a spangled circus star shot from the cannon. Don't blink. Watch this once-in-a-lifetime event. Oh, will she make it? The heart's a bloomin' idiot. Thinks the wind chiseled the president's faces on Mount Rushmore. The heart works part-time as a crash dummy, night custodian, private eye, air traffic controller, does time on the suicide hotline. With the heart, all the wagging fingers agree it's always high, high drama. Just ask around. Always a Hollywood opening. Searchlight scrolling night skies. The heart's a synchronized swimmer, a revolving door. The heart never, ever pauses for station identification, recalibration. The heart makes backroom deals in hushed tones with unsavory thugs in Russian saunas. The heart's spun glass crackling, spiral nebulas clanging, aurora borealis washing night skies green. The heart's a crock pot left on low simmer for centuries. The heart's turbocharged, a fifth-wheeled, a goonie bird. The heart gets overtime for driving the bus on field trips, keeps an eye in the rearview mirror on the rebels in the way, way back. The heart's dreams melt in the front seat of the rusted Volkswagen, mix with butterscotch hard candies, yearbook pictures, love notes, eulogies, all fossilized to an opaque amber, worthy of a monument, a tomb of the unknown, and finally, unknowable. Our hearts, our wild, wild hearts. Thank you.
That was great, Margaret. Next up, we have a bon vivant, a man about town, the gentleman himself, Mr. Matt Yucia.
So does anybody know the Ernest Becker book, The Denial of Death? Came out in the 70s. Yeah, one guy, yes, right? This premise, like everything we do, all the crazy shit we do is just an attempt to, you know, have kids, write poetry, get graduate degrees in English, have really complicated opinions on craft beer. It's all just an attempt to deny that you're gonna die one day. So I'm working on a series of poems about all of those strategies called The Denial of Death Number Whatever. This poem is not about any of those strategies. This is called Denial of Death Number 99. Know that once in the spring of 1998, when I lived in an old house in the country, spent a rainy day listening with all the windows open to classical music records bought at an estate sale, the smell of rain and damp grass mixed with the Moonlight Sonata. It was the first time I thought I understood eternity. There were other moments in solitude, in intimacy, in crowds, pleasures of discovery, of aesthetics, and deadly sins. Times when my ribs tingled when I thought about love. Sometime after we are born, we become convinced something is supposed to happen to us. Spend our whole lives looking for a train that never arrives. Or realize decades later, a glimpse is all we are afforded. Thank you.
Our last reader tonight, Stuart James Schmidt.
I wasn't going to read anything tonight, but then Jan convinced me that I could do this on my phone, so I'll try it. We'll see how it goes. This is called Swan Song. I carved a path through the breaking asphalt in my cobalt blue 1987 convertible Camaro, high as I'd ever been, the shimmer of guitar behind me, and embers flying from the end of my cigarette. I would drive this car straight into the horizon with the unearthed beach behind me, sirens and the distant wail of the land I've torn apart, if I thought that it would lead me to you. Here with my sunflowers in their mason jar, here with my half-frozen handle of Old Crow, here in the memory palace I have built out of burnt CDs and stolen flowers, here as you return my clandestine call, the ember burns at the end of my unfiltered Lucky Strike mixed with marijuana. Here in this burnt-out shell of my youth, here in this garden or ruin, here where the specter of war still haunts the many young on their aimless pilgrimage, here where love could reign or battle lines could be drawn, here in the other country of our past, I have met you again, and this time for the last. There are two kinds of freedom, two disparate paths that divide and conquer each and every heart and mind met along the wandering trail. The first, of course, is the freedom for yourself, which culminates to something like self-actualization. The second is the freedom for another, which is little different from love. I and my effigy of you, you and your iconography, there before the burning silver nitrate and cast out hymn of the arsonist, my little pyre of dried flowers and your lilting lullaby on the mandolin. So this is goodbye. So this is how our world ends, not with a bang, but with your whispering declaration. I am free again. I have made my life and song and given to you my sacred tongue to speak in the language of God. I could not dare disturb the silence of your tearing stare or my first communion. I could not dare take another step, kiss your eyelid, and make you my possession. When people speak of love, they speak of an idealization. When people speak of freedom, they speak of an idealization. When I speak of love, I speak to you. When I speak of freedom, I speak to you. Where I shall find them for myself, I will speak of you. Where I shall go from here on out, it will be with you. Where I may find you now, I will find myself too. Where I may find you now, I will find the last bit of fight and flight before my signal fire comes crashing down into the ocean. Until then, I will try not to crash this machine into your haven again. Thank you.
Wow. And that's why we're so happy to have the open mic back. Yes. Yes. Just a reminder that in 2 weeks, just in case you, okay, in 2 weeks, Tuesday, May the 28th, Cameron Barnett, Christina Fasanik, Shannon Sankey, Jason Irwin, who is here, and Byron Hoot. And if for some reason you are not on the Pittsburgh Poetry eBlast, but might wish to receive notices of future events, no salesman will call. Just put your name and your email on the pad over there. And thank you, Chris. Thank you, Don. And thank you all. And thanks to Hop Farm. Yay! See you in 2 weeks.